following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Brett Boone, and today I'm joined by a friend of the program, a former teammate of mine, MLB Network's own, ladies and gentlemen, Harold Reynolds. Harold, thanks for coming on.
What's going on, buddy? Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Nothing. Busy. Like we were talking off air, I got a bunch of kids coming, bunch of kids going. Some are going to college, some are finishing college. So that's what we do when we get older.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
I've got beginning of the season, we all go through it in our crystal balls and we all know exactly what's going to happen. I think really now in 2024, there's a lot more parity in the game. I'm starting to notice. I'm sure you're seeing the same things. But I look at my predictions. I had Toronto winning the American League East. How wrong was I? And I had no idea that Cleveland was going to kind of go under the radar and just kind of be one of the best teams in baseball all year. I want Harold Reynolds. Everybody kind of knew Phillies, Yankees, Orioles, Dodgers. But I want to know the surprises for Harold Reynolds that you've seen thus far.
Number one, Cleveland. I didn't see them doing what they're doing. I actually had the Royals winning the Central, which was sticking my neck way out there considering they won 50-some games last year. But I thought the moves they made in the winter, got a bunch of veteran pitchers, put some players around Bobby Witt, and it's happening. So they're right there knocking on the door. But Cleveland, I just did not give them much love early. It took me probably even till All-Star break where I started really believing them. And I think the bullpen's the difference. And I didn't feel like they had players around Jose, third baseman. I can't think of his name right now.
The Royals third baseman?
No. Cleveland.
Oh, Cleveland. Ramirez.
Ramirez.
He's Jose a stud. Ramirez. He's a stud. Every year he just does it.
Just like I forgot his name right now, is how his team's been forgotten. He's one of the best players in all baseball. I didn't think they put enough people around him, but they blossomed. So that was my number one. The other one I would say is Cincinnati, one of your old teams.
Yeah,
I thought they'd take a big step forward. I thought the Central was going to be wide open. And the biggest surprise in all of baseball is the Brewers in that division. The Milwaukee Brewers have been wire to wire first place. What Pat Murphy's done, nobody saw that coming. You lose the two pitchers. Burns goes away. Woodruff is injured. You make trades. Yelich goes on the DL. I mean, there's no way the Brewers should be here.
And Council goes to the Cubs. Council might want to stay in Milwaukee. That'd have been a better choice.
Yeah, it looks like they're coming on. Don't count the Cubs out now, but I'm with you. Milwaukee might have been the better choice this year.
Both of our former teams, we both played in Seattle for a lot of years. Seattle Mariners, Harry, you've got to get frustrated like I do, just since our time spent in the Emerald City. But
yeah,
it's been 23 years. There's been one playoff berth in a city that to me is a gold mine. I was there and right when that new stadium was built, and I just saw if you win what that city's capable of. One playoff run, 23 years, that pitching staff, and I think we'll get to it a little bit here. I think they kind of mirror the Atlanta Braves this year. Is you got the best pitching in baseball, and both clubs are on the outside looking in, trying late in the season to get a playoff berth. What's going on in Seattle? And give me an update on Atlanta, because they are elite when it comes to pitching both clubs.
Well, one, your first point, that's near and dear to our hearts. Anytime you come through an organization, that's always going to be in your heart, you know, and that was you and that was me with the Mariners. I think Jerry's done an amazing job of getting a roster together. He's reimagined. He's done all kinds of things. He continues to put players on the field, but they've lacked the offense. And when you have the pitching they have, you got to get that offense. So I was hoping that when Vladdy Jr. Was struggling in Toronto early in the season, and even Bichette, although he hasn't come back healthy yet, that we would make a deal. You had six starters that were really flowing that anybody in the league would have taken. And I just felt like a move like that, you bring in a Vladdy and Bo Bichette or a couple guys like that, the offense takes off and the Mariners will be in the playoffs. But it's hard. I hope they don't squander this great run that they're in, because runs don't last that long. You get 5-6 years max where you have this great run with the chance to win it. And I think they're in the midst of it right now. They're 2, maybe 3 years into it. And I hope they capitalize and realize that you are in the window.
And this last offseason, you know, I kind of had an idea what they were doing. They had Teoscar Hernandez, who went to the Dodgers on a one-year deal. Yep. And he had Eugenio Suarez, who, for me, when they traded Suarez, you know those guys, Harold, that are key in a clubhouse. And it just seemed to me that Suarez was just the perfect fit in that Seattle clubhouse. Seattle was moving on. They wanted to cut down on their strikeouts. Well, that didn't happen. Yeah. But my question at the beginning of the season was, you're getting rid of Teoscar and Suarez. You're letting them walk. Where are you going to get those 190 ribbies? You know, exactly. And both of them right now are looking to hit 30 and drive in 100 again. Teoscar having a big time year in. Yeah. He just kind of a little bit overshadowed with the Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie right. Freeman. But in his own right, having an MVP caliber year. So that to me, all right, let's move it over to Atlanta Braves. Obviously, Acuña gets hurt to start the season. Your MVP, you're starting off. Spencer mm-hmm. Strider, Cy Young Award winner, he's down for the season. So you start off kind of behind the eight ball, but I thought they had plenty behind that. Ozuna's come on. He's really filled the gap having an MVP caliber season. You can't expect Olson to hit 54 home runs every year. He's got 25 this year, so he's been off. But just like the Seattle Mariners, that Braves, number one in pitching in the National League. And as of today, let me check my numbers here. Braves are tied. So they're tied for that fourth wild card spot with a to me, surprising New York Mets team. Talk about the Braves.
Well, I think you nailed it. Chris Sale has been a godsend. Wow. They don't have him. They're not anywhere. But when you lose Ronald Acuña, you lose Albies for a period of time, you lose so many guys.
Riley's hurt right now.
I mean, that's three guys that every year you might say have a chance to win an MVP.
Yeah.
So when you lose those three guys off your lineup, yeah, you're in trouble. Now, they've done a nice job of mixing and matching and still hanging in there, but they're not the Braves that you feared last year. It's just not the same club. So I think that's been the big story for me. They're going to pitch. Chris Sale should win the Cy Young. And it's hard to have a Cy Young Award winner and not be a team that you think is going to be the number one team heading to the postseason. I think Ozuna's had an MVP year. You know, he's going to be in the conversation at the end. Him, Ohtani, and Lindor, and whoever else you want to throw in there, but his name's in the middle of it. So that's, to me, it's the injuries hurt the Braves. I can't say they underachieve because you have three star players that are out with injuries. If they had bad seasons, that's one thing, but injuries is a whole different story. So that's how I look at the Braves. While you touched on the Mets real quick, another surprising story. I don't think anybody thought the Mets would be doing what they're doing. I thought they were a year away from really, this is Stern's first year. Let me fill out what I have. Let me get creative the way I did in Milwaukee, and then I'll spend money next year. They've flipped the script. He's done a nice job of picking up players, filling in holes. And Francisco Lindor's had an MVP second half, and he's really dragging his team with him to the playoffs. So the Mets have to be up there with a very surprising club.
Yeah, especially with their guy that signed a big contract, Senga came over. He's he was hurt all year. He gets hurt again in his first outing. So
unbelievable.
Severino's have had a bit of a resurgent coming over for some rocky times in New York. All right, we're gonna go just division by division. Let's go with the NL East. What do you see? Phillies at the top look to be the obvious. They're all around it. I think their bullpen for me has scuffled the second half, but pound for pound, I think they're as good as anybody going to the postseason.
The Phillies look like a team that Booney would have played on, that Brett Boone would have been on. You would have been right in the middle of that team. And you know why I say this? Because I watched you play, and it seemed like every team you were on, there was a togetherness. And they hung out with each other. They liked each other. They knew each other. That's what I see with the Phillies. I find it real intriguing. I used to always say Bryce Harper is a travel ball kid. He was the first one of that travel ball generation that we all fell in love with. And Bryce himself will tell you, this is the first time he's had a team. When he signed with Philly, it's like, this is a brotherhood. I'm not going anywhere. These guys have long-term deals around me. I'm not playing for Mr. Jones's team in Cooperstown next week. I'm on a team. And I that's what I see with the Phillies. We see so many guys and so many clubs where that guy's going to be a free agent. The Yankees, let's take Soto. Can they really bond when they know he's going to be a free agent and he's probably going to be out of here? You can bond so much. But if they locked him up and he knew he was going to be there and Judge's going to be there the next 8-10 years, man, think of how tight they are. And think of how things continue to grow. They're playing baseball together. And no, I'm not saying they're not close. But, man, when you know you're with a group of guys that are going to be there for a long period of time, like the Phillies, they're all locked up to contracts. The Braves, they're all locked up to long-term deals. And so there's something special that happens with those type of clubs and with the players in that unity. And numbers can't express it. I don't care what anybody says. There's something about bonding in the clubhouse, and it gets you through certain close situations. It just does.
I agree with you. And I've really, over the years, I really like Harper. I like his demeanor. I like just he kind of screams Philly, you know, and he's done a lot. He's out.
That's you. You're looking at the guy in the mirror. You are Bryce Harper. I'm telling you.
Man, I was just born too early.
Yeah, you were. Oh man, think about the money you'd be making today. But you are. You got that attitude that Bryce has. I'm gonna show up. I'm gonna play every day. I don't care if I'm hurt. I'm gonna be in the lineup because I know it affects the guy around me. Mm-hmm. That's Bryce. People talked about his second half and how he's struggling. He hadn't homered in a long period of time and all that. He knew the importance of him being in the lineup makes them better. And he'll be ready.
From a mental standpoint, right?
Yes. And how they're going to pitch the guys in front of him and around him. That pitcher doesn't know this isn't the day Bryce breaks out. They don't know. They don't know.
It's a presence.
It's a presence. And I'm telling you, you were a guy hitting middle lineups and you had to protect guys. That was your job. And you had people that protected you. But when you weren't there, it's not the same lineup. You understood that. And I think that's why you bond with Bryce. You see it. Bryce is old school. In a new generation, but he thinks baseball. And, you know, anybody grew up when we grew up and studying the game, that's Bryce. He's a throwback.
And I think it's, you know, we saw
it. If I just had long hair like him, I'd think I was Bryce.
And a year ago in that playoffs, Harry, man, that home field advantage, I think, stands out amongst all the teams we're about to talk about today.
Yes.
And it was amazing to me. Still one of the most amazing things I've seen is Arizona going into that hostile environment, taking it to them and winning. Yeah. That's one of the most amazing things I've seen since I retired watching this game is the way nobody gave Arizona a chance a year ago. And all of a sudden, man, they went into Philly, the impossible. And pulled it off. It was pretty awesome. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, Philly makes you want to go to the game and be there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Moving over to the NL Central, Milwaukee. Both of our radars is kind of a wow. We didn't expect this. With you mentioned Woodruff being on going on the IL to start the season, Burnsy going over to Baltimore, and they've got a pretty good grasp on that division. They're going to the postseason.
Yeah, they're a good club. I mean, you look at the style of play. I've known Pat Murphy since he was at Arizona State, and I see a lot of what he's doing, what he did with college players, put his arm around them. Here's what I expect of you. Relax, go out, have fun, put pressure on people. And I see that same thing with the Brewers. And when you got young talent like he has around him, you got to handle young guys a little bit different than the crusty old veteran, so to speak. And he's done a great job of handling his young players. And I think he's almost taken this college attitude and approach to it. They're not afraid to drop a bunt either. They're not afraid to hit behind a runner, and they'll run into some three-run homers. And so I think he's got a full grasp of the full style that they play.
And they really pitch, and they've got a power bullpen, that which I think rivals either any bullpen in either league. That'll be interesting. Move over to the West, L.A. Dodgers. Not that big of a deal to predict this with their offseason and all the acquisition. It's unbelievable. Ohtani next year is going to be pitching on top of what he's doing right now. But
hold that thought. He might be pitching by the end of the year this year.
I just heard that. Could you imagine? That's going to be like the biggest Superman come to the rescue thing maybe I've ever seen, on top of going whatever he's going to go.
I saw him at the All-Star game, Booney, in Texas. And he told me, I said, how are you throwing? Are you throwing long toss? What are you doing? He goes, I'm 86 off the mound. And that was July. And I went back. I told our guys, he's eyeing pitching in the playoffs. He wants to come back. And honestly, they need him. I don't see the Dodgers winning this thing right now. They don't have the pitching. I love the offense. I love the names on the roster, on the lineup. They don't pitch. And now the injury to Glass now. You have the setback with Stone. I don't know, man. Walker Buehler's Walker Buehler's gonna have to step up big time. They don't have the pitching right now, so I agree, I don't even see them getting out of the West.
Yeah, and Yamamoto came back, been good since he's come back, but you never know with an injury like that. Flaherty's been a good acquisition, but when you're talking about postseason, going to the World Series and winning a World Series, you want to hear a little bit. You need the Glasnows of the world to be healthy. You need the Walker Buehlers to be the Walker Buehler of what we're used to seeing. And I'm with you right now. That just isn't the case. You look in that division, Arizona Diamond. I don't know how they do it, but they've been unbelievable the second half. And for me, if I had a team right now to take in the National League, I'm taking the San Diego Padres with the
bingo
position they made. They're unbelievable. Talk to the NL West.
Just the moves they made in the bullpen. Look, the postseason, this is not baseball 20 years ago, 15 years ago. This is about postseason. This is about bullpen. When you get to the pen past the fifth inning, who has the best pen? That's who wins the World Series. And we watched what Bruce Bochy was able to do last year with the Rangers. He penciled that bullpen together. He pieced it together, I should say. And they won. And if you look at what's going on in San Diego, the moves that Preller made and what they're working with right now out there in San Diego gives them a chance. Manny Machado's back healthy. Tatis is back healthy. That's already a good lineup. I like Bogaerts at shortstop over Kim. I'm sorry, but I do. And I just think, man, it takes them to a whole nother realm. And they're a dangerous club. If I was in the National League, I'd be hoping the Padres don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to get in the playoffs. You know what, Harold? That's a good point. I wasn't going to bring this up today, but the shortstop thing. You sign a Bogaerts. He signs a huge deal coming over from Boston. And we know, being on the other side of the bag for years and years at second base, those shortstops, they're the most talented defender on the field. Always have been, always will be. And they have egos too. And all of a sudden, you take a guy, it started with Tatis. You know, Tatis has upcoming, signs the huge deal, has a little hiccup, has some problems, comes back with his tail between his legs, kind of apology when he got busted for the substance. And all of a sudden, he gets put in right field. And people didn't think, oh, he'll just go play right field. It's what's best for the team. Well, they don't take into consideration, this man's a shortstop. Right. And once again, shortstops have egos. And right field, he goes and plays a gold glove, but that isn't short. and he knows it. Now all of a sudden you bring Bogarts over, signed a huge deal from Boston. He's a star shortstop.
Which Tatis can handle that. Okay, you got Bogarts, no problem. Right.
And now Bogarts they put at second base, and Bogarts going, wait a minute, I'll say the right thing because you just paid me $200+ million, but why am I? I'm a shortstop. You got Cronenworth, who I'll tell you what, is a really good second baseman. You just shift him over to first. Imagine if they said, Harold, you're doing a good job. And in your heyday, when you're winning gold gloves, why don't you go play first? Wait a minute. I'm a gold glove second baseman. Why don't you just move to first base? So I don't think in the past couple of years, people are taking that into account as much as they should, the mental effect it has. And when you mention the Bogarts move, I'm with you. I want a guy that I just paid $200+ million. I want him happy when he gets to the ballpark and happy the position he's playing. That makes a difference. And whether you – this isn't Little League where, oh, just do what's best for the team. You've got to consider egos. You got to consider personalities when you make that lineup.
Well, and on top of that, he can make all the plays. Yeah. That was not the problem. You know, he makes the plays. In this – day and age of advanced analytics, and you're saying you're putting guys where the ball should be hit even greater than back in yesteryear, then Bogarts catches the ball. So I didn't get that move. I think it allows you a little bit more. You know, Jackson Merrill, he's playing center field. He was a shortstop coming up. He was the next guy. So they've made some moves, but I do think all said and done, we're talking about three players, Tatis, Merrill, and Bogarts, who are all major league caliber shortstops that are athletic enough to play different places. That's all you need to know about the Padres is that is an athletic team, man.
Yeah.
They are athletic.
And they've got something pretty special. You mentioned the Phillies and that.
And Manny Machado was a shortstop.
Yeah, Manny could play anywhere. But you talk about that team that you're seeing with Phillies. They are a real team. Living in San Diego here, getting to see it kind of up close and personal, that team's got something special going. It'll be interesting to see not only how the West works out. They're knocking on the door now. They're not too many games behind the Dodgers, but it'll be interesting. I think both going to be postseason ball clubs. Okay, let's move over to the AL. Yankees atop that division, been playing better as of late. The Judge Soto has been the best 1-2 punch in baseball. But I want to talk to you about something I saw the other day, and I didn't see this game live. I wanted to get your take on it. Give me your take on the Gerrit Cole situation with the intentional walk of Devers. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I think it's around the fourth inning, his second at bat. Everybody knows it's kind of been covered, Devers and owning Gerrit Cole. Well, that's a part of the game, you know. Some guys, there's no rhyme or reason. You just get a lot of hits off that guy. And another guy comes into the game, and there's no more rhyme or reason. He owns you. But the fact that that went down, and then when I kind of replayed it, I thought, wow, the Cy Young Award winner put a man on, kind of on his own. It looked like it was his call in the fourth inning. In a non-situation. Now, if I'm Rafael Devers, you talk about puffing your chest out, going, the Cy Young Award winner is scared to death of me. I think he just handed him a chip that gave him a big-time edge going forward. Later in the game, he comes up. Your thoughts when you saw that move of, man, this is your ace. What kind of message does that send to your team playing behind you?
All right, well, let's take a Roger Clemens or a Nolan Ryan – or Randy Johnson, or Greg Maddux, you know, guys, John Smoltz through the day, through the year.
Yeah.
All right? And that guy says, I'm putting him on. What does that do to the rest of the team? All of a sudden, what I was scared to death of this guy, I'm not fearing him anymore. I'm not talking about Devers. I'm talking about the rest of the lineup. You know, if Nolan Ryan went like this and said, I'm just putting Griffey on.
Right.
I'd have been like, I'm not afraid of this guy hitting me anymore. He thinks he's lost it. You know, I'm going to own him too. I think it just gives a new life to the whole Red Sox lineup. The other thought I had was, instead of being able to have the option to throw four pitches that maybe he'll chase one, I hate the four fingers.
Yeah.
It's taking the strategy out of the game. Four fingers? Throw four pitches. Maybe he says, I'm going to throw a slider, which he hit him at first at bat with a slider. But maybe I'm going to throw some changeups, make him chase, see where he's at that day. And if I walk him, so what? Now with the game that we play, we just go four, and I think it sends a bad message. So on the flip side, okay, Garrett says I'm putting you on. It was kind of cool. You know what? If he pitches out of it, it's like, yeah, okay, I can get everybody else out. And it backfires. So if it doesn't backfire, we're not having this conversation. But it did backfire. So we have to have this conversation. And at the end of the day, I don't like the fact he just put him on.
Yeah, and I was going to have this conversation with you, so I on purpose didn't even call Aaron to find out the backstory, because I don't like having inside information and then...
Yeah, no, and I could tell on Aaron's face that he's letting him do what he wants to do. It's his ace, and he gets it. And he,
right.
But I think Aaron was like, he wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and what kind of message are you sending to the rest of... I've never seen anything like it, especially a guy of his caliber, and you're right. Yeah. He's kind of earned the right to do certain things that you don't just let any pitcher get away with. He's Garrett Cole. I get that. That's a part of earning your stripes. But to me, the message it sent, I don't know if I'm sitting behind him playing second base. I don't know that maybe I've lost a little something for my teammate.
Yeah, I understand. I would prefer to have him have four pitches and knock him down.
Right.
You know, do whatever you want to do. But not just, I give in.
Well, if it's the eighth inning and there's a base open, well, your manager's going to call it from the bench and you're going to say, okay. And that's, I completely understand. But this is a Barry Bonds situation. This is nobody on.
Yeah.
There's nobody on base in the fourth inning. And we're, I don't know. It just didn't hit me right. So anyway. All right. AL Central. We got your team you're talking about that you called the beginning of the season. I don't know how you did that. I had no idea. This Kansas City team is really good. And Bobby Witt's having the MVP caliber year. But I think it's also shining a spotlight on the maybe underappreciated career of Salvador Perez.
Oh, man, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, I started looking at what he's doing. This guy catches every day. And that's the difference. I mean, I know Buster Posey's going to go in the Hall of Fame probably, and he's the leading guy right now. Even Joe Mauer went in the Hall of Fame. Joe Mauer was not catching 130 games. You know, this guy catches. He plays every day. He's come up with big hits. He's in a small market. Really, really special what he's doing. And I just love Salvy Perez. I like his career. I like what he's doing. Now, Bobby Witt. We're looking at one of the greatest ball players ever. I think by the time this kid is finished, was said and done, his skill set, we're going to look back and go, man, unbelievable. He's an amazing, amazing talent. And I love the guy. He's fun to watch. But Aaron Judge is the MVP. I mean, you don't do what Judge is doing, regardless of the year Bobby's putting together. Judge hitting 330 with 50-some homers, 140-some ribbies. I'm sorry. You don't lose the MVP over that. And your team's in first place. You don't lose it. Just my thought.
No, I agree with you. AL West. We talked about our Mariners early. It's amazing to me. For me, this Houston lineup, it's one of the best and has been one of the best lineups top to bottom. That's somewhat stayed together for a long time. I think it's beyond, their ability. I think they're just an astute lineup. I think they study other pitchers. I think they're constantly talking to one another up and down that lineup. I've been watching it for years.
Yeah.
Everybody had them buried early in the season. They're back.
I had them done. Done.
Yeah. They're back. are they real? Are they a threat come postseason?
Yeah, I think it comes down to them. I think they're the team to beat in the American League right now because they're the most complete. They have great starting pitching and they got a bullpen, And the lineup you just discussed, I think they're really, if the playoffs started today, I would say the Astros are the favorite to win it all because they got all the components to do it.
Yeah, I like Astros and Padres. But then again, what the hell do I know? I had Toronto winning the division this year. Okay. Who's set up best in the American League for you? Is it Houston? Going into the postseason.
Yeah, it is. It's Houston. I think they've got four starters. When you're questioning if Justin Verlander is going to be in your playoff rotation, how good are you?
Right.
Every team out there would say Verlander's our number two or number three. And maybe some clubs would say he's our number one. Yep. And Houston's saying, we don't know if he's our number five. Hello.
Right. Right. And that bullpen, too, you got Hader, you got Presley, you got Neris. That's one of those power bullpens.
Yeah,
that it is. Is much needed. National League, who sets up best for Harold Reynolds?
We talked about him for a while. I think the Padres set up even better than the Phillies. I just think the Padres pitching and depth and that lineup plays well for the postseason.
And, Harold, I had a conversation with Tim Salmon recently on the program. He talked about his 0-2 run, and his Angels that year ended up winning the World Series. But he said he doesn't think they would have won the World Series if they didn't get in the way they did. They had to fight and claw. He said it felt like the whole month of September was like in the playoffs. And when he got to the playoffs, they were in playoff mode. In today's game especially, do you think what you've seen and witnessed the last 10, 15, 20 years, would you rather be a team that gets there at the last minute, or would you rather be a team like the Phillies that kind of cruise in with a 10-game lead, like the Milwaukee Brewers? Your thoughts?
I want to play in. I know everybody likes to think they want rest, but every team that rests, they struggle. You look at the Dodgers last year, they wrapped it up. They had the big lead out west. Arizona comes in, boom, wipes them out. I just think it's repeated. You can pick out teams along the way over the last 10, 15 years that's happened to. I'll go back all the way to Detroit Tigers. Remember the year they were in the World Series? And, they just never got going offensively. And that was one of the better offensive teams in baseball. So I think the layoff hurts you more than it helps you. And I know that's why baseball has kind of tried to restructure the playoffs and try not to allow teams to be off for so long. It's you try to reward them with rest, but it ends up hurting them in the long run. So I think that you got to want to play, and you just have that momentum. That's what baseball is. You play every day, and that's I think it's carryover, no doubt.
Yeah, and I think it's as tough as any time in, I don't know, in my history to really predict the postseason. It'll be interesting to see this thing. All right, we talked about Scott Service. He got fired for the Seattle Mariners. Dan Wilson took over. For you, who's on the hot seat going into this offseason, AL first, as far as managers go? Any do you see out there?
Boy, clearly the White Sox got to figure out what they're doing, even though they have an interim right now. But that's going to be an interesting situation, what happens with them. I have to really look. I don't have the standings in front of me. I have to look at some teams, but Toronto's going to be an interesting one. I think they got to figure out what they're doing. This is 2 years in a row now that they've kind of underachieved at the end of the year. So I think we might see a little bit of a change there. There could be as many as three or four different clubs that have to kind of reevaluate, and I would not be surprised they all made changes.
All right, last one, I'll let you go. The Chicago White Sox are 35-115, okay? 12 games left in the season, 12.
Man.
They got 35 wins. Can they get to 40 wins by the end of the season?
No.
No chance. They can't go 5-7?
No.
No?
I think the record speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And what's happened to them this year is hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do. You could go get AAA team and say you guys are going to come up and play
right
5 games in the big leagues, and I guarantee you they're probably going to win a game or so. It's hard to even conceive that a club can lose the way they've lost games.
It is amazing too, because I said all it takes is a pitcher having a good game, locating his pitches, and the other offense takes the night off. You run into one, you hit a sack fly, and you win a game. It is. Yeah. It's amazing.
And the other reason I say no, they're not going to do it, they're playing some clubs that have to win.
Yeah.
And you cannot drop to the White Sox.
When you say it's hard to do, you know what I think of? I think of hitting what somebody that hits 180 or 190. It's easier to hit 300 than it is to hit 186. I'm convinced.
Yeah.
That's tough to do. I've had some rough years, Harry.
Yeah,
but I wasn't even close to 186, and I felt like I got one hit a week. It's amazing. Oh, yeah.
It's been there, man. That's rough. Yeah. But it's hard to do. It just, I don't know. You get too many opportunities. I've watched the way the White Sox have lost games. I mean, it's like sack fly and the guy trips running home. I mean, there's just things like that that happen. You shake your head.
Yeah. Well, Harold Reynolds, as always, I appreciate you coming on. And a lot of great stuff, as usual. I will check you out on MLB Network. You're there every day. All day. He's Harry. He's the face of MLB Network. But truly, Harold, I do appreciate you coming on. For those of you watching the Brett Boone podcast now, we have our own YouTube channel. Check it out. For those of you listening, downloading it on the Odyssey app or wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here.